This is the Sports Reporters.
I am Mike Lupica, back with the New York Daily News and MLB.com.
I'm Andrew Siciliano from NFL Network and the Red Zone channel on DirecTV.
And I'm Mitch Albom of the Detroit Free Press, and welcome to this edition of the Sports Reporters Podcast, the podcast incarnation of the long-running TV show on ESPN Sunday mornings. Now twice as nice because we do this Mondays and Thursdays. And gives us a chance to sort of wrap up the weekends on Mondays, especially. And what everybody's talking about.
Wait a minute. Don't you want to welcome our guest? I mean, what the hell?
Why? No, why? Okay, I'll make a fuss over him. Hi, Andrew. Welcome to the program.
Gentlemen, thank you for having me. And, okay. And you probably hate if anyone says something like this. It is an honor. It is a pleasure to be here. But truly, it is an honor to be here. Having watched on Sunday mornings back in the days for so long, this was as a younger person. I don't want to say as a kid because that sounds bad, but as a younger person, this was the only thing I look forward to on Sunday mornings, and it's a pleasure to be here.
See, Mitch, that's when you
and it just goes. It's like fishing for compliments. You don't want to do that.
I'm comfortable with that.
Well, thank you. I think our listeners presume that if you're already on this podcast, you're qualified, and therefore you introduce yourself, and that should be good enough. But now we know you a little bit better. There you have it, and then we move on. And that would be where I was about to say, you don't often see back-to-back walk-off home run nights, period. You don't often see back-to-back walk-off home run nights by rookies, hardly ever. And you don't see back-to-back-to-back walk-off home run nights by rookies ever. And that is what the Los Angeles Dodgers, in what a magical season that I can only imagine in L.A., they are saying, can't we just start the playoffs now? Because we're never going to be better than this. They're having a great year. And yet, Mike, as you've pointed out many times on our podcast, a shadow looms.
It is. It's an extraordinary thing they're trying to do. And Mitch, you know, we've talked about the Andrew, Mitch and I've talked about this before. I didn't know how unusual it is what Dave Roberts and the Dodgers are trying to do this year, but it's been nearly 100 years in baseball since a team lost consecutive World Series and then won the third. That is what they are trying to do. So they are going to do that and become the first team since the 23 Yankees to accomplish that feat, or they're going to be three quarters of the way to being the Buffalo Bills. And I first started having this conversation with Dave Roberts, who I know, in February, because I really do think there is no more compelling narrative than not only what the Dodgers are trying to do, but the way they're doing it right now, being the best team in baseball. And he said, we don't spend any time around here talking about 17 and 18. He said, if you want to know what our core message is this: 2019. And man, oh man, are they playing that way so far?
You know, I had this conversation with some friends over the weekend, one of whom is with the Dodgers, and this team feels so much different than the last 2 years. There is a selflessness. I mean, three rookies with walk-offs on three consecutive days. There is a swagger, you're right. They're not looking back at these last two. I think if you go back to Game 7 a couple of years ago, you get behind Darvish and then the game is over. I've never been to a more lifeless Game 7.
And Andrew, if you were there, you know that Darvish was never up to the circumstances of that occasion. He didn't look as if he belonged in that moment for 1 minute that night.
The building was dead. My friend and I kept sitting there looking at each other saying, this is a game seven, and it feels like a random game in May where you're looking at your watch hoping to beat the traffic and get out of there. And by the way, the traffic was a disaster leaving. That's another story, right? So that was 2 years ago. Last year, the Red Sox were clearly the better team, and they had the attitude. The Dodgers did not. This team simply feels different. Now, it is June. Okay, how are they going to be with injuries? How are they going to be with this kind of swagger come September?
They'll just bring up
October?
More rookies.
They're going to bring up more rookies. Yeah. But look at Max Muncy, for example. And I'm all for Madison Bumgarner defending the rules of the game. I still have kind of an old person mentality for that. But when a guy like Max Muncy can stare down Madison Bumgarner and tell him, go get the ball out of the ocean, then they have the shirts a couple of days later. And then Look,
I want one of those shirts, by the way.
I want one of those shirts, and they're having so much fun. Fun in June, again, does not equal success in October. But Walker Buehler strikes out 16 a couple of nights ago when nobody even notices. That's how good this team is.
Yeah. Well, you know, their youth is going to be a big benefit when it comes to memory, too. You know, it's harder to get rid of missed opportunities, I think, when you're older, because you realize how rare they are. When you're that young, you know, Cody Bellinger's 23 years old. You know, Will Smith's 24 years old. They got a lot of guys in the 24, 25, 26 range. That, you know how kids are, because they were great in high school, they were great in college or wherever they played, and they just assume greatness will come to you in the professional league. So if you miss one World Series one year, you just come back and do it the next year. You know, you don't, it's only when you get into your 30s that you start to realize, hey, these are rare opportunities. And weird as it sounds, you know, Clayton Kershaw is probably the guy who's going to have to remind them of all of that. But, Mike, we've talked about it before. You know, Cody Bellinger, who's having a season for the ages, he was awful when it counted in the postseason.
Andrew, Mitch and I were talking about this the other day. People forget this. It's gotten lost. Cody Bellinger was 1-for-16 in the World Series against the Red Sox.
And Clayton Kershaw has obviously had his issues over the years in the postseason as well. I think, you know, at least from the fan base, there's a cautious optimism. I don't think people want to get too excited, but they keep giving you all these moments week in, week out, where you fight it because they are so amazing and they are so young and so exciting. It is just assumed here they are getting back to the World Series. It's not an if, yeah, it's a when.
And Mitch, what I'm seeing from them so far, okay, and 54 wins already before we even get to the official halfway point, okay, or we're just at the halfway point. Things are happening to the Dodgers, guys, that happened to the Red Sox a year ago when everything seemed to fall into place, when everything was magical, where they had all these stories, where they were the ones who ended up winning 108 regular season games and then going 11-3 in the postseason. There is that feel to the Dodgers this year. And, you know, Andrew probably follows them more closely than we do. Do they have bullpen issues? Yeah, just about everybody, except maybe the Yankees.
This year, everybody has a bullpen issue.
Yeah, I mean, the Red Sox have profound issues. We'll get to them in a minute. But you know what? If they can keep Kershaw healthy, and again, Mitch has heard me talk about this before, Andrew, when he did not hold that 4-run lead against the Astros, okay, in the game that ended up, I believe, 13-12 in that World Series, that was the night the Dodgers should have won the World Series. They should have been setting themselves up to win the World Series. There have been all those moments from this guy over time, but they all get a chance, other than the kids, for redemption this year. And I'm telling you, it is a fascinating thing to watch this story play out.
And I think it would be great as well as Clayton Kershaw, despite the fact that he's, you know, 7-1 with an ERA under 3, as we get towards the end of the Clayton Kershaw era, potentially here in Los Angeles, if this is the team that he can finally say, yes, we did win this thing, and he can exercise all those postseason demons.
Well, if it isn't, I don't know how he's going to get a better.
Exactly.
You know, 54 wins in 79 games. It's nuts. So, you know,
Mitch, you just touched on something. How about the fresh Prince of Bel-Air hitting another walk-off home run yesterday?
Yeah.
That's not that Wilson.
No, it's not the same. Although they're both in L.A.
Oh, okay. LA. No, my bad. Okay.
Yeah. Well, the other one was in Philly back then.
But he's done it twice already this year, this kid.
Yeah, I know. I mean, you're almost waiting for that situation to arise to get him.
And Mitch, if you looked at him on all of these, there were no cheapies in these three walk-off home runs.
That one was actually out of the park very solidly. And you know, like I said, they just can't get to October fast enough with this group. You know, you don't want to peak early. That happens in all sports, where the middle of the season you go on a tear and then something happens, an injury, a losing streak, a bad matchup in the postseason. But you can only do, you can't rush, you can't make baseball go any faster. It goes at the pace that it goes. And this is the best thing that you can do. There's no theory out there that makes any sense about, you know, save it. Save it for the end.
Don't play really well
in the middle.
Nope.
You know, go through some struggles in the middle. It's all bull. You should try to win every single game because winning becomes a habit and expecting to win becomes a habit, and that's what they're doing now.
Hey, Andrew, let me ask you a question. What is the star factor and the star quality and the star profile right now for Cody Bellinger in Los Angeles?
We actually have people debating as to whether or not he's better than Mike Trout, I think, and that's sacrilegious.
That's a good conversation to be in.
It's an amazing conversation to have, and it's not a conversation that I think anybody would have ever foreseen a couple of years ago. Everyone knew Cody Bellinger was a heck of a player, but to have that five-tool Mike Trout conversation when last night you're watching Sunday Night Baseball and they're putting the career comp up there, Mike Trout and Mickey Mantle.
Yeah.
And then now in the present day, we're saying, but yeah, we're Dodger fans here are saying, yeah, but I'd rather take Cody Bellinger. To your point, he's 23, he's this, he's that. That's the star power that that guy now has. Now, The Dodgers do have a little bit of, as I mentioned, of that, okay, call me in September malaise, I think, from the fan base, which they fight with all these great moments, and they still are. Now, full disclosure, I do work for DirecTV on Sundays, and so some people still blame DirecTV for the Dodgers not being on every television in Southern California, but there
That's
is still
crazy,
a
isn't
bit
it? Isn't
of
that
a,
crazy?
It is nuts, and I don't know that, and I'm not here to bash Southern California sports fans. I've lived here for 20 years. I consider myself one now, but I don't know that that would have ever flown in New York or Boston. It wouldn't have taken all these years to finally fix this issue, but there are plenty of people that simply don't see the Dodgers that much. It's just a fact. Huh. It's still stunning.
Hey, Mitch and Andrew, let me ask you guys question. Maybe little of the edge that Cody has brought into this season has become the team's edge. You know, he had something to prove. They've got something to prove. And for the time being, they're proving it.
And before we move on, this from our sponsor, Manscaped.
Okay, guys, this episode of the Sports Reporters Podcast is being brought to you by Manscaped, who are number one in men's below-the-belt grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for manscaping that sensitive area. You know what I mean, guys. We've all had bad experiences in the past trying to trim things down there, even me. So you have to make sure you have the right equipment for these sensitive jobs. They sent us some amazing products, and we love them. It made that trim up easy and fast with no costly mistakes down there. Manscaped has redesigned the electric trimmer. Their Lawnmower 2.0 has proprietary skin-safe technology, so this trimmer won't nick or snag your boys. Why hasn't anyone done this before? Stop using a traditional razor down there already. Manscaped has the proper tools for the job, so manscaping accidents are finally a thing of the past. Plus, you don't want to be using that same trimmer on your face as you're using on your junk. That's just nasty. And check this out. Manscaped also has the Crop Preserver, an anti-chafing deodorant and moisturizer. You're already putting deodorant on your armpits. Why are you not putting deodorant on the smelliest part of your body? You have to check out Manscaped. For our listeners, get 20% off plus free shipping with code REPORTERS at manscaped.com. Always use the right tools for the job. Your boys will thank you. Again, 20% off, free shipping, and a free travel bag with code REPORTERS at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping and a free travel bag at manscaped.com. And don't forget to use code REPORTERS. Guys, back to you.
I had never thought of them as the Buffalo Bills until you said that at the top. I had never put it in that context. Now, history, I think, from the football side, does look back on that team as there's nothing to hang your head over. Jim Kelly's in the Hall of Fame.
Mitch knows, Andrew. I talk about this
in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. I talk about this all the time. Okay, that to me, they are not symbols of failure. Mm-mm. And I've come to appreciate them more over time. That this is their legacy, to keep getting back up after getting knocked down, is tremendously honorable.
But you don't want to be the team that goes back and loses.
No, yeah. You don't want to be that.
You don't want to be any version of that. And look, all right, we've said what we can say about them. They're fantastic right now, and will continue to be. Let's talk for a second about the Boston Red Sox.
Whoopsie.
And I don't know. I mean, I was just in Boston over the weekend, and you know, they played a series there at Fenway, and yet there is this sense that even though, you know, they had a postseason for the ages last year, and that's only what 10 months ago, 9 months ago, less than that. They're acting like, you know, that was 100 years ago. And Mike, you mentioned before the show that there's some talk that they should start be talking about losing some assets before the trade deadline.
Peter Abraham, who is a fine baseball columnist for the Boston Globe, known him forever, had a piece in today's Boston Globe suggesting that if this goes on, and again, the trade deadline is still 5 weeks away, if it goes on, that they should be sellers and not buyers of the trade deadline. They are right now 9 games behind the New York Yankees, whom they face in London this weekend. Okay, 9 games already behind. They have a losing record at home at Fenway Park. They do not have a bullpen that is remotely presentable or you would ever confuse on a championship team. Here's the other problem. Their two best players last year, one was the most valuable player in the American League, Mookie Betts. J.D. Martinez wasn't the most valuable player, but Mitch has heard me say this before, Andrew. He was the most important player, most important hitter in the American League because he completely transformed that batting order and made Mookie and everybody else better. They are not even close to what they were a year ago. They thought they could baby their starting pitchers in spring training. Oh, really? How did that work out? It worked out with a 6-13 start. And every time they seem to have picked up some momentum this year, they have fallen back and blew a 6-1 lead to the Blue Jays when Mitch was in Boston the other day, got thrown down a flight of stairs by Marcus Stroman yesterday, and do not in any way to me at this, and I grew up in New England, they're talking about the second wild card. They don't even look good enough to be a second wild card right now.
They're only 2 games back in the loss column, though, for the second wild card.
Yeah, I know.
And that's what, you guys know this, that's what this new wild card, it's not that new anymore, has done. When you have, I'm looking at it right now, 5 teams.
Cleveland, Texas,
4 games, yeah, in the loss column of the, yeah, second wild card. Full disclosure, I'm an Indians fan. They're not that good. But they just came through, I think, 8 of 11 or 9 of 11, something like that. They just swept the Tigers over, yeah, the weekend. And now they bring up Bobby Bradley. Can this team win?
Well, you only get half a win for beating the Tigers.
But they count as
a third of a win.
And they get the Twins this week, which, we'll find out a lot this week about the Indians. They get the Twins at home starting tonight. But does that team, they have a bullpen, strike you as a team that could win in the postseason, if Kluber is back, if Carrasco, who knows what
I'll go you one further, Andrew. I'm not counting them. If they have a good week this week against, right, the Twins, I'm not counting them out of winning the AL Central.
Okay. I think that's a long shot right now at 8.5 back. But my point is, I don't think that they're necessarily a team that can win any playoff series. Anyone can get lucky. The Red Sox are in no position to pack it up. I'm a little slow.
No, I don't think they should either. But who would have thought that we would even hear this suggestion when the season started?
Sure. Yeah. It's 1 month. It's 3 months. I just don't get. I also think part of that is the, and Mike, you know this being from there, is the, well, if we're not a championship contender, then we're awful. Let's blow the whole thing up mentality. That we're so used to winning that anything less than that, the sky is falling. The sky isn't falling. They are more than capable of winning the wild card. No, they're not going to get to the Yankees, but they can get in. And isn't that all you want to get in, or is that not good enough anymore?
No, it's good enough. And Dave Dombrowski is the type that he will, rather than sit around and say, well, let's watch what happens and then we'll sell stuff off, he'll try to make it. First of all, I think they need a relief pitcher now.
They're up against it on that luxury tax threshold. He's Dave. He spent an awful lot of money. He's coming off the season of his career. But I don't know if he's got a lot of wiggle room to add payroll.
Yeah. Well, he's got to find a relief pitcher, because between the combination of injuries and ineffectiveness, like you pointed out, that game they were up 6-0 and they still lost to, and it wasn't exactly, they weren't losing to the Yankees, they were losing to Toronto, you know, and they have the worst record, I believe, in blown saves.
13 blown saves, yeah.
I think 13. It's 15 now.
Oh, is it up to 15?
Yeah, okay. They're up to 15 blown saves already, less than halfway into the season. So they got to do something with their bullpen. And you know, if they can, maybe they can start to turn things around. They'll you know, certainly have enough overall talent to stay in the hunt. You know, they're gonna drop out of the picture like we feared that they would in the first month of the season. You know, I remember, Mike, a couple times you sounded the horn on, like, hey, I know it's early, but, you know, yeah. I know it's early, but, you know, it gets late really early. It gets early really late.
Yogi's line, it gets late early around here.
Yeah, so they got to do something first with that bullpen.
Hey, Mitch and Andrew, here's the thing, okay? Here's the thing. Right now, in the loss column, they're closer to the Toronto Blue mm-hmm. Jays than they are to the New York Yankees. Think about that. They're only 10 games better in the loss column than the Detroit Tigers. So I'm telling you something.
Oh, my God.
They haven't looked like the defending champs for more than a week at a time all season. And if they go to London, these are, quote, home games for them in London this weekend, and the Yankees hit about 12 home runs against them, then the sky really will be falling in Boston. Anyway, so moving along from baseball.
Wait, can I throw this in real quick? I love the idea of going to London, and I'm all for expanding the game. I don't know how, you know, what the long-term economic benefits of playing a couple of games in London will be for the future of the game internationally. But I would hate to be either of those managers with the demands, the travel demands of taking your... I know they get days off on either side of this thing, but what a royal, so to speak.
Pain in the butt.
Pain in the rear. And I realize we're talking East Coast teams. The travel truly isn't that bad, but you're still taking a red eye. I wouldn't want to have to be in their position.
No, I was going to go to those games at one point, and then I'm thinking, why should I do this if I don't have to?
It feels like an exhibition.
It's an unnecessary
burden
on these
tool,
two teams.
And it's who gets rooted for over in London? Are they Red Sox fans more than Yankee fans?
No, they'll be. You'll see, Mitch. I've been over there, and you've been over there. There is a great American fan base for just about everything. I've been over in London when they brought the NFL there. Okay, and I've been there for World Cup soccer games when the United States was playing, and all of a sudden, you look around and you got people from Chicago and Boston and LA. I think that there will be a large vocal contingent from both fans in London.
It's one of the few places in the world where they can say, comparing it to cricket, wow, this is a really fast moving game.
Foul balls. And unlike cricket, Mitch, and I know this has bothered you the way it bothers me, okay? Unlike cricket, foul balls are just foul balls in baseball, okay? Nobody stands up and waves a damn Union Jack when a guy hits a foul ball the way they do in cricket.
Nor do they break for sandwiches in the middle, okay.
Are the Red Sox going to become the first team to play consecutive series out of the United States? They play two in London and then two in Toronto.
Wow.
Toronto doesn't.
See, that's why we got Andrew on today, Mitch.
And speaking of Toronto, what a segue, Andrew. Thank you for that. Speaking of Toronto, it appears now, if you believe the reports, that Kawhi Leonard is going to disengage himself from the Toronto Raptors roster at least long enough to explore free agency. He's going to exercise that option, and then the sky's the limit in terms of who's going to go after him. Now, we're hearing a lot of things, you know, as is wont to do when a guy is first beginning his courtship. But the thing that you hear the loudest with Kawhi Leonard is that there's this hunger for him to return to Southern California. And the LA Clippers are apparently preparing, you know, as much of a monster offer, both financially and culture-wise, because the Clippers are much different than the Lakers. You know, when you hear a guy wants to go to Southern California, you always immediately, your first thing is to say, well, so he's going to join the Lakers. But from what I keep, and we've learned a lot about Kawhi Leonard in the last month or so, as he's, you know, dominated the stage, what kind of person he is, what kind of routines he likes, how he's very dedicated. He likes organization. He likes things being run tightly, a tight ship. He likes organizations that have medical teams that really are proactive instead of reactive. And the Clippers are a far, far better fit for that than the LA Lakers would ever be. So the question for you guys, I guess, is, do you go at this moment in your career, if you're Kawhi Leonard, Do you go to a team that has never won anything, but is in the area where you want to be? Or do you stay with a team in arguably a much lesser conference, the East? I still think it's easier to win in the East, although Golden State has now tipped the scales. But do you stay there and come back with the team, maybe do a one-year deal or something like that, and try to repeat with the first team, you know, well, not the first team for him, but the second team that you've won a championship?
Well, here's what I think. And again, you've heard me say this before. If you're Kawhi Leonard, are you looking at this as, wow, this is as happy as I've ever been in basketball. I am the toast, not just of the town, but of an entire country. Right. I am beloved wherever I go. Let's try to do it again. Or do you think this is as good as it's ever going to be in Toronto, and it's time to move it down the road? I believe this is a two-team race. I think it's the Clips and it's the Raptors. And Mitch, you know, I, we're all reading different stuff, and nobody knows anything. It's a great William Goldman said, okay, but I'm hearing that that there's as good a chance that he stays there as he does anything else. And again, it's not like everybody's going to make him. Somebody can make offer him $2 billion or something. The money's going to be what the money's going to be. And if I'm Kawhi Leonard, this is just the basketball fan in me. I have no skin in this game. Doc Rivers is an old friend of mine, okay? I hope he stays in Toronto.
I hope he stays as well. And as difficult as it was to watch with the Durant injury and the Klay Thompson injury, those injuries, like I remember Brian Windhorst when Durant got hurt, looking at the camera on SportsCenter that night saying, guys, the NBA changed tonight. Everything in the NBA changed tonight. And that trickles down, eventually the Raptors win, to Kawhi's decision, because the idea that you couldn't win in the West now changes. At least it changes short term with Klay and Durant, clearly, regardless of where Durant goes. But let's say, hypothetically, he does go back to the Warriors. They're not going to be ready to play next year, at least not until late in the season. And so there is a pathway to win now in the West. It is far easier, however, to win in the East. I think everyone who claims they know what Kawhi is thinking has no clue.
No, they have no clue.
I mean, the guy is as close-knit with his family and keeps his mouth shut more so than any other player in the NBA. It would be in his nature to stay there and to prove everyone wrong, and to take the short-term deal, and to try to win again for so many reasons in the East with Toronto, I think, than it would be to come back home. He's only 27.
Me,
he could come back home later.
Tell me, if he were to go and join the Clippers, given that you have LeBron and Anthony Davis with the Lakers, what kind of, you know, let's talk about ego for a second here. How much attention would he get in Los Angeles, given the other guys?
He'd get a lot,
but Anthony Davis
with the Clippers?
Everything.
With the Clippers?
Yeah, yeah. But yeah. No, he's not going to get as much as LeBron and Davis, but he's completely changed his brand and his profile in the last 2 months.
But I'm asking about the LA Clippers. The LA market, right. They always think of the Clippers as the other team.
No, they're the Brooklyn Nets.
Right, whereas in Toronto, like you said, Mike, he's got the whole country. Forget about being
the
central
him.
Team.
Yeah, they love
yeah,
him.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, preeminent team. And I mean, sometimes, you know, we talk about players saying they want to be the man on the team. They also want to be the man in the market. And, you know, this is just one element, the ego element. But he would not get that in L.A., if I'm hearing you right, Andrew.
Correct.
Hey, Andrew, have you seen the billboards yet? Are they up yet? The Kawhi, I hear there are Kawhi billboards.
No, I have not. Or were you? Yeah. Was that sarcasm?
Yeah.
I have not.
No. Right, Mitch? Did you see that story over the weekend?
I missed that.
Yeah, no, they're up there already.
Yeah, I drive and text. I never look up. But look.
King of SoCal.
Funny.
I'm kidding.
There's
I do
two
voice
of them.
To text. For you hit the little microphone button, you all talk, right, and none of it ever comes out the way you intended.
They have one. I'm looking at them now. One is King of the North with the North spray painted out, and it says SoCal. Kawhi L.A. Clippers. That's what it says, Kawhi L.A.C. And the other one is a license plate that says California and then has Kawhi, you know, as the license plate.
You're never going to be King of L.A. with LeBron still here. But when the Anthony Davis trade happened, everything changed. I never thought that I would ever hear 3-4 months ago, and this is not an exaggeration, driving down the street and having people that I respect here on the radio having legitimate conversations about trading LeBron James. Trading LeBron if this summer, and remember, there's only two seasons in the NBA, the playoffs, and then where is everyone going to go come free agency? Everything else is worthless.
Yeah. Right.
But if this summer people didn't want to come play with LeBron, which is what it looked like was going to happen when the whole Anthony Davis trade blew up at the deadline last year. So when that happened, people sat here saying the LeBron thing was a mistake. How do we get rid of him? Now, that was a bit extreme, but people were legitimately having that conversation. When Anthony Davis happens, I cannot describe to you how the attitude has changed in the last week now for the future of this franchise.
That only shows you how little they knew before and how little they understand now.
Absolutely.
Because now that the draft is over, and the last time we did our podcast, it hadn't taken place yet. So we need to kind of roll that in here as well. You know, I was wondering if there was going to be some packaging of draft picks for key players and take them sort of out of the free agency realm or whatever. But there weren't. I mean, everybody drafted, and there was a lot of movement with trades in the drafts, but everybody drafted. And the L.A. Lakers got exactly one draft pick, a second-round pick, who isn't going to make any impact for them now. So their team is still, right now, LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and a bunch of guys that they will happily trade if it'll get them anybody else. They don't have enough to fill a roster. And let's, you know, memory is short in sports, but let's look up the pike in the state of California and see the team that was most loaded with talent in recent memory did not win the NBA title this year. You know, so things happen to teams that rely on star talent, and depth matters. And so the LA Lakers, to me, certainly they moved up a little bit from not making the playoffs by adding Anthony Davis, but they are not some kind of favorite to win the West in my mind at all.
Totally.
They don't have a team.
Totally.
They have
agree.
Two guys, one of whom's turning 35 and is potential. He got injured last year and it could happen all over again. So now if you're Kawhi Leonard, to return to him, I say, okay, the West is clogged. It's not unbreakable because Golden State isn't there anymore in their current form, but it is clogged. And Golden State will get, if those guys stay, it's all 1 year, anomaly. And then Klay Thompson is going to be fine. And if Kevin Durant is still there, they're going to be good again. Whereas now go over to the East. You got Giannis. Okay. Giannis is going to get better and his team's probably going to get better. Philly, who knows? First of all, they could lose a couple of key guys off that team in free agency. Butler's a free agent, but Tobias Harris was a free agent. And they didn't get their act together last year. Boston is not Boston anymore. I mean, Kyrie Irving's gone. Al Horford. Gone. So what are you worried about them? You got a pretty good shot if you return with that Toronto team of knowing you're going to be at least in the conference finals. Shouldn't that matter?
It should matter, and that's why I would stay. I also think there's something to Kawhi or any guy about proving you can do it again. Although, if he were to leave, I don't think anybody would be upset, much like LeBron leaving Cleveland the second time. Hey, you brought us a championship. God bless. Have a good life. Thank you. We'll always have these memories. I was answering the question about the hype, the star power, and how everything has changed here in the last week with Anthony Davis. If it were just LeBron and a whole bunch of parts and people were blaming LeBron and blaming Magic and nobody wants to play here anymore and the anger towards that franchise, then yeah, maybe Kawhi would have the chance, if he were the centerpiece for the Clippers, to bring the star power up, to be the guy here in LA. But now that Anthony Davis has joined LeBron, the attitude towards the Lakers, 6 straight years without making the playoffs, I mean, that's absurd. The attitude has changed here.
Hey, here's the thing, Mitch. I think we're in agreement that if you're looking for a ready-made championship contender, Kawhi is playing on one right now.
Right.
Okay, and for all the reasons you stated about their roster issues, the Lakers are not one. Could they get another guy and be one? Yes. Now, as an answer to your question, who won the draft, Mitch? The Pelicans won the draft. Now, that doesn't mean that all of Brandon Ingram's health problems are going to be solved or that Lonzo Ball is going to be what people thought he was way back when he was used. Okay, but they stockpiled an awful lot of talent. okay?
And draft picks.
And they're building around this kid who, you know, even though there are flaws in his game and questions about his game, Zion, I think, is going to be a star in the NBA. But if you're picking out a team that won the draft, it is far and away the New Orleans Pelicans.
Yeah. Well, and that's ironic because, you know, not so long ago, they were being looked at as the team that lost the most in that they couldn't hold on to their star player. He didn't want to be there. And they really did lemonade out of lemons because, you know, here was a guy who clearly embarrassed them in his outward desire not to be there anymore. You know, he didn't just say, well, thanks, but I'm going to go with a free agent. He gets, he wore a t-shirt to the last day of the season saying, you know, that's all, folks.
And blamed his stylist.
Yeah.
Said,
yeah.
I just wear what's laid out for me like I'm a kid going to second grade.
Well,
I
mean, yeah.
That's
that happens to me all the time.
Yeah. I hate when my stylist embarrasses me that way.
How many times did that happen to us on the Sports Reporters? Damn it. And you know, people thought it sounded like a weak excuse, but it's the damn stylist's fault.
Here I am wearing the I'm with Stupid t-shirt again, and I wish my stylist had not put that out for me.
I didn't read the t-shirt. I just put it on.
I did not know.
I didn't know the message.
I like what you're saying about the Pelicans, though, Mike, because you know, you don't want it to always be the same franchises over and over, you know, just getting the way the Patriots seem to, no matter where they pick, they end up with somebody who's effective and they pick 28th. Whereas, you know, the team that picked first doesn't get what they thought out of their pick. But it's a couple years away, Mike.
Yes. They're 100%. But when you look at the board, where they were, when they were decimated by Davis announcing that he didn't want to play there and wasn't going to play there anymore, and where they are now, there is a feeling of optimism. That's a pretty damn fast turnaround.
Yeah.
When is the NBA going to feel any repercussions, any side effects, any effect from the fact that during the season, the Pelicans, the Knicks, the Cavs, whomever, the teams at the top of the lottery, are not playing for that night? They are only playing for next year. And we'll all pay attention come playoff time. We'll all be sitting on our couch every single night with all these great playoff series. But that even during the regular season, so much of the conversation is only on what's going to happen come the 4th of July.
No, I agree. But here's the thing. And I'll just pick one of those teams.
But it worked out for the Pelicans.
It did work out, but it works out. I'd love to know the percentages of how often it works out as opposed to where losing does not work out for you. The Knicks are the classic example. They thought they were going to get Kevin Durant. Maybe they still will. If they don't, what's their plan? They got RJ Barrett and Kenny Knox and a bunch of guys who have never had anything to do with a true winning franchise in the NBA. So the Knicks have been losing for a long time. I think they had 17 and 65 seasons recently, or 15 and 67. I lose track. But it hasn't worked out for them. There are many teams, many people are saying, for whom it doesn't work out. And so look at baseball right now, Andrew. Look at baseball right now and all the teams, including the one in Mitch's city, who are making no attempt to win this year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I hate it, you know, and I think anybody who's beyond 25 hates it because this deliberate, I don't care if you stick a funny name on it like the process and make it seem like it's scientific. Losing is losing. And until they start selling tickets at different prices, oh, that would be okay. You say, okay, we have now declared that we are in the process, and therefore we are dropping our ticket prices 50% because you're only coming in to watch a team basically lose, and only if the ball accidentally goes in are we going to accept a win. Fine. But if you're not going to do that, if you're going to charge the same amount of money, then you have no right and no business not trying. And we all know that that's going on. Tanking, you can call it whatever you want. And it is, I think, Adam Silver's biggest challenge because much as he can celebrate the handful of teams at the top and how interesting it is and how interesting a postseason this was, he's got that problem from from October until May, you know, when you it's called the regular season, and the regular season has 82 games in it, and you need to deal with those 82 games. And if you know that your team is out of it before they even start, and they're just going to try to basically lose, and you have fans and radio talk show hosts saying, you know, why the hell did they win last night for? Now they're, you know, they'd be the, you know, second best record, second worst record instead of the worst record. That's bad for business. It's bad when you're rooting for your team to lose.
All right.
And the only way out of that is a different discussion for a different day, which is to reorganize the
draft. Wait. All right. Moving along. We do have a football guy with us today. And Andrew, there was a story that was very interesting today where Brett Favre wasn't making a big controversial statement about Aaron Rodgers, but basically saying that now that they have brought in a defensive coach in Matt LaFleur, that they have to let Aaron be Aaron. And there's been, obviously, Andrew, you know, it's a suggestion out of Green Bay that there will be much less audibilizing from number 12 this year than there has in the past. And here's my larger question to you about Aaron Rodgers with a team, by the way, that for all of the foo-foo in Chicago is capable of winning that division this year, I think. Has Aaron Rodgers' great moment come and gone?
I don't think it has. I think there is still plenty of good football here. And I also think that there is a lot more being made of you know, the whole idea that Aaron can't audible. This goes back to Mike Silver, my colleague at NFL Network, who wrote this column, I believe, last week or 2 weeks ago.
Yeah,
he spent a lot of time up there with Aaron and with Matt. You know, Matt's still convalescing on his little scooter there with the torn Achilles, playing basketball. The basis of this offense, right, if you go back to him working with McVay or with Shanahan or with Gruden, yeah, there isn't a lot of audibling here. But it's Aaron Rodgers, and I think Matt is bright enough to know what he has in one of the greatest to ever play our game, certainly a headstrong guy. You don't want to walk in there and tell Aaron Rodgers, hey, everything you learned, forget about it, we're doing it my way. Matt LaFleur is not that stubborn. Now, it will be interesting to see how it all develops, but I can't imagine we're going to see like these old NFL films moments where Mike Holmgren's yelling, what is he doing? What is he doing? What is he doing for Brett Favre? Oh, wow, look what he did. He threw a touchdown to Donald Driver. I don't think we're going to have those moments because that's not in LaFleur's personality. But the push and pull between those two men is one of the more fascinating storylines watch. I do think Aaron will benefit, though, from a, I don't say a change of scenery, but just a change in doing things. And
he's going to benefit from losing one of the most overrated coaches of the last 25 years and maybe more in the National Football League, Mike McCarthy. That's what he's going to benefit from.
Yeah, but what you don't know is if the guy who's replaced him is any better or going to take them any higher. And I can tell you from living here and you know, dealing with Green Bay and the NFC Central all the time, North.
I liked it when it was the Central.
Yeah, I know. I hearken back. There was a sense for many years here that it was done before the season started, that Green Bay was going to win, and all you could hope for was get a good enough record to somehow get in as a wild card team. But, you know, Green Bay just dominated. They just found a way to win. And certainly against Detroit for years, you know, when they were throwing Hail Mary passes to win games. That's not the case anymore. They are in the Elliot Ness world touchable. You know, they went like that movie, you know, where they finally kill one of them and they spray paint the elevator door. The mystique has gone from the Green Bay Packers. And when I say that, first of all, I even say it for the Detroit Lions, as historically bad as they are, they've had a lot of success against Green Bay very recently. I say it for the Chicago Bears, who aren't afraid of Green Bay and are a coming team, I think, as opposed to a retracting team like I think the Packers are. And I certainly say it for the Minnesota Vikings, who have been, you know, various levels of excellence for the last couple of years, although, you know, jury's still out on their big quarterback switch. So, my question is, what kind of coach is LaFleur? I knew what kind of coach he was playing for in McCarthy, and I knew the things that he did and why he was overrated, but they had a lot of success under him. I don't know what kind of
not
regime he's going to have.
Not as much as they should have.
Not as much as they should have, absolutely. But they've had zero so far with LaFleur, and don't forget that Aaron Rodgers is 35 years old. But okay, Mitch, he's going to be 36.
But the reason LaFleur is there is because they didn't win as much as they should have with Mike McCarthy in the prime of one of the greatest talents in the history of that position.
I'm not disagreeing with you that they wasted a guy, that Aaron Rodgers should have two or three Super Bowl rings by this point in his career. I agree with you. But I'm saying going forward, is this the fix? I don't know.
Out.
Have they really surrounded him? Andrew, you keep track of the comings and goings far better than we do in the offseason and who they've said. Have they put talent around him enough for them to have a better season this year than they've had the last couple?
I do think there's more than enough talent around him to win. I also think that with Mike McCarthy, you know, Brian Billick, my colleague at NFL Network, always makes the point. There just comes a time for any head coach when the message has run stale,
right,
when you just have to move on. And that was the case with Mike McCarthy. You could believe how many ever insider reports you want about him getting massages during meetings. Who cares? It was over. It was time to move on. They needed something new. Now, look at the numbers that Matt LaFleur put up last year with Marcus Mariota or whomever was healthy, a quarterback in Tennessee. They weren't good. The offensive numbers were not good at all. There are a lot of people that are surprised that Matt LaFleur is a head coach right now. Matt LaFleur is a bright guy. And I do think that Aaron realizes that. And I do think that you'll have a rejuvenated Aaron Rodgers, who, if you look at the tape last year, threw a lot of bad passes. Let's not sugarcoat it. It wasn't all Mike McCarthy's fault. He was also injured week one.
Right.
And he was playing injured the entire season. I think the reset button will help them greatly. But this Bears team in that division, this is their division to lose. And it's a make-or-break season for Mike Zimmer, I think, and Kirk Cousins in Minnesota. Not make-or-break for the quarterback. They're locked in for another season after this with that contract. But that's a team that underperformed last year. So the Bears think they're going to the Super Bowl. The Vikings absolutely have to make the playoffs. The Lions are an enigma. And then you have the Packers.
Enigma? What confuses you about the Lions?
Because I have...
What is enigmatic about the Detroit freaking Lions,
I'll tell you
Andrew?
What. I actually have faith in Matt Patricia that maybe in year two the light goes on for everyone in that organization, that they take the hard-earned lessons from last year and somehow surprise people, because there's always two or three teams that surprise you. I'm not going to bet on it, but I have no idea how good the Lions can or cannot be this year.
Mitch, I'm so sorry to make those hurtful comments about you.
No, but I have to agree with Andrew that the enigma is not an inappropriate word, because they have added some major talent, you know, Trey Flowers, and they've got a good young running back when he's healthy, and you know, Matthew Stafford can still play, and Matt Patricia, they've been stockpiling this approach. We'll see if it works or not. You know, this is the year to sort of prove it. But they're more than just the perennial basement dwellers in the North.
Correct.
They're going to challenge. And the last time we saw Aaron Rodgers, by the way, he was leaving a game against the Lions with a concussion. So. Against the Lions. So all goes back to the point that Aaron Rodgers is not dominating this division, and people are not afraid of him, and other teams are not afraid. He doesn't have that mystique here. And so in a season where he's going to turn 36 years old, this is a very critical time in his career. And Mike, you and I have believed a long time, like there's more. Aaron Rodgers is going to do more in the NFL than he has been held back from doing up till now. But time is not his friend. And you don't always get to be the player that you should have been by dint of circumstance, by dint of injury, by dint of a crazy bounce. And he's got a massive contract for 3 years. But he's only got three probably shots at this to go. And so that coach better prove himself to be some kind of turnaround expert.
Tom Brady's going to be 42 this year.
Well, okay.
And here's the thing about Aaron Rodgers. If you don't believe, before we get to our party shots, I'll put a bow on Aaron Rodgers this way, Mitch and Andrew, all right? If you don't think he's had a bit of a heartbreak career, twice he stood on the sidelines, watched his team lose a coin flip, and never got to play any more football that year in the playoffs. Once against the Cardinals and once against the Seattle Seahawks in the worst coaching day of Mike McCarthy's career. He has been a star-crossed player, but Mitch, I hope it's not three. I hope he's got five more shots at it. I do, because there has never been a player, not one, at that position that I loved watching play more than Aaron Rodgers at his best.
No, we agree on that.
Now, parting shots.
All right, guys, I apologize in advance for being long. So we had our annual NFL seminar last week for NFL Network. Best part of it is when Al Riveron, the head of officiating, comes in. We had a Hall of Famers in the room, Pro Bowlers, and some of the best and most inquisitive minds as reporters in the NFL. And let me tell you right now, this thing is going to be a mess. We all agree you should fix missed pass interference calls. We all agree, including the Rams, that they got it wrong with Nickell Robey-Coleman. But let me give you an unintended consequence. I'll use the Saints, for example. Let's say week 10 this year, they're playing the Falcons. And Drew Brees throws a ho-hum third-quarter touchdown to Mike Thomas, 20 yards, yay, score. They're running out special teams. Perfunctory review in New York. Got the feet down. Yes, check. Two hands on the ball, didn't bobble. Yes, check. But wait a minute. He pushed off on Keanu Neal. And you see that in the final shot that Fox puts on the screen. Blow the whistle. Throw the flag. He pushed off offensive pass interference, backed them up 15. Drew Brees, go get your helmet. Yeah, we're going to see that. So be careful what you ask for, everybody, including Saints fans.
We're not the only ones in New York with dumb baseball controversies, but we do sort of have a history all the way back to the 60s when Phil Lynch and Yogi Berra, then the Yankees manager, got into it on a team bus because Lynch was playing a harmonica. It was the Yankees in New York, and so that incident made national news. Now in Wrigley Field on Sunday, outgoing manager, Mets manager Mickey Callaway, that's just me, makes headlines by calling out Tim Healy of Newsday as a smart-ass mother blanker. Before long, Jason Vargas of the Mets, whom no one has ever confused with Sandy Koufax, is threatening to punch Healy's lights out. But you know what started all this? Right after the Mets manager didn't like some questions about his bullpen mismanagement in Wrigley on Sunday. A mismanagement that had cost his team a game. It was Healy saying the following. See you tomorrow, Mickey. Now, it wasn't exactly Lynch throwing a harmonica. Callaway acted as if it were. The Yankees made the World Series in 1964. The Mets will be watching the World Series again. And see you tomorrow, Mickey. May turn out to be their version of Bye Felicia.
Since Donald Trump has been president, no NBA team has visited the White House. Of course, until a couple weeks ago, that was always the same team, the Golden State Warriors, who rejected his invitation in 2017 and didn't really get an invitation and weren't going anyhow in 2018. Now comes the Toronto Raptors. According to one of their players, Danny Green, it would be a, quote, hard no on the new NBA champions paying Trump a visit. A hard no. At this point, sports teams to the White House is such a destroyed tradition, with champions either sending a portion of their roster or skipping it altogether, that it suggests a muddy field the day after an outdoor concert rather than a coronation of some champions. I doubt Trump would even ask the Raptors, but Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau has already extended an invitation, which is an interesting twist. If you're a Canadian franchise in an American league, where are your loyalties? The Raptors and their coach are not Canadian citizens, but would they make a journey to Parliament Hill in Ottawa faster than the White House in Washington? It's all part of a tradition that really never needed to exist, was turned into a chummy thing under a few presidents, and then was obliterated by Donald Trump. Here's an idea. How about they just do away with the whole thing, have a ring ceremony at next year's opener, and leave it at that? Oh, wait. Even with that, Kawhi Leonard, Toronto's MVP, might not be there since he could be wearing another uniform. Honestly, winning an NBA championship is a lot less complicated than finding ways to honor it. That's going to take care of the Sports Reporters podcast for today. Andrew, thank you for joining us. Pleasure to have you.
Thank you for having me. Sorry for being long-winded.
We will be back on Thursday with another edition of the Sports Reporters podcast. You can get it wherever you get all your podcasts.
Will we, Mitch? Will we? Will we be back on Thursday?
Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and other places. Leave us a comment if you enjoyed or didn't enjoy what you heard. We always enjoy reading your comments. We will see you on Thursday. Until then, on behalf of Andrew and Mike, this is Mitch Albom saying, have a great week.
This episode of the Sports Reporters Podcast is being brought to you by Manscaped, who are number one in men's below-the-belt grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for manscaping that sensitive area. You know what I mean, guys. We've all had bad experiences in the past trying to trim things down there, even me. So you have to make sure you have the right equipment for these sensitive jobs. They sent us some amazing products, and we love them. It made that trim up easy and fast with no costly mistakes down there. Manscaped has redesigned the electric trimmer. Their Lawnmower 2.0 has proprietary skin-safe technology, so this trimmer won't nick or snag your boys. Why hasn't anyone done this before? Stop using a traditional razor down there already. Manscaped has the proper tools for the job, so manscaping accidents are finally a thing of the past. Plus, you don't want to be using that same trimmer on your face as you're using on your junk. That's just nasty. And check this out. Manscaped also has the Crop Preserver, an anti-chafing deodorant and moisturizer. You're already putting deodorant on your armpits. Why are you not putting deodorant on the smelliest part of your body? You have to check out Manscaped. For our listeners, get 20% off plus free shipping with code REPORTERS at manscaped.com. Always use the right tools for the job. Your boys will thank you. Again, 20% off, free shipping, and a free travel bag with code REPORTERS at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping and a free travel bag at manscaped.com. And don't forget to use code REPORTERS.